We say a prayer, brothers and sisters, before the Lord's Prayer for the unity of the faith and for the communion of the Holy Spirit, and that we will commend ourselves and our whole lives unto Christ our God. It is the mirror image of the prayer that our Lord said in today's Gospel, that we may all be one, even as He and the Father are one. We were created for a life of goodness, a life of compassion, a life of gentleness, a life of mercy. We were not created for a life of sin, for a life of passion, for the life which most of us live most of the time. St. James says in an epistle that out of the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. Out of the same mouth comes both praise and discouragement. We were created to encourage, not to discourage. We were created to be called out from the world and not to be part of the world. The hardest thing for each of us, and I know especially for me, is to realize that God has good plans for us and to not become discouraged. When we look at the condition of the world, when we look at the condition of the church, when we look at the condition of most of our lives, it's very easy for us to become discouraged. It's very easy for us to become saddened by how far short everything seems to have fallen from what God wishes for each of us, how our lives have become less than what God wants for us. But Christ has given us everything that we need in order to lead the kind of life for which we were created. And He's given us the Holy Spirit to encourage us, to comfort us, to give us the strength to have that unity of faith and that communion that we pray for so fervently in the liturgy. How many times do we call upon the Lord and ask Him for unity? And ask Him for that sense of purposefulness. That sense of knowing what we're supposed to do in our lives and having the willingness and the strength to do it. The hardest thing is once we know what is the right thing to do, to actually want to do it. But we have to, brothers and sisters, to reach into ourselves to find the strength to do the right thing. In Greek, we say ekklesia for church. Ekklesia. It was a generic term in the ancient Greek world for an assembly. Something that was called for a specific purpose in much the same way that our legislature today is an assembly. We talk about the New York State Legislature, it's the Assembly. Called out from the world for a specific purpose. All of us, if we are in the church, have been called out from the world. We have been called to a new life. We have been called to a new purpose. We have been called to be, as I said, the people that God created us to be. And as I said, it's very easy when we look at the world to become discouraged. When we see the churches and most people not going to church, when we see the state of our country, of other countries, when we see how little faith there seems to be in the world, we wonder, like Jesus postulated, when the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? Like Elijah, we sit under a tree and we say, my God, am I the only one left? Has not every knee bowed down before Baal, the great sun god to which the Hebrew people were sacrificing their own children? And even though we're not literally in this world throwing children on an altar of and burning them alive as the Hebrew people were in the time of Baal. In a spiritual sense, how many of us have thrown our own children to the world through lack of supervision and through just lack of faith. I don't know what the future of the church is going to be. But we have to have faith that God is going to provide the means by which we can reach a fallen world. And many times I feel feeble in my attempts. I say, what can one man do? And I know each of us has this. What can I do? How can I have a life meaningful? How can I reach the hearts of other people to inspire them to do what seems so difficult? To reach out to a world which doesn't want to seem to listen to us anymore, which makes a mockery and laughs at Christ. Each of us in our own way, if we go out and live in the world and we try to struggle for a life committed to Christ and to the gospel, we'll find that people will mock us. They will persecute us. They will make fun of us. They will laugh at us. And it's very easy to become discouraged in those moments. And when we try to speak to those who are lost, when we try to speak to family members who have fallen away from the faith, who become Protestant, who become secular, who don't believe in God at all, and who think that going to church is silly, when we can, and who tell us why? Why are we doing this? Why are you going through all the ritual? Why are you here? And I know each of us, if we look honestly, this is what we encounter every single day of our lives if we try to live a spiritual life and we walk out into the world. Every single day of our lives, we're going to be tempted to become discouraged. But the church has known these times before. And it's very easy, as Elijah was discouraged, to sit under a tree, either literally or spiritually or figuratively, and despair and say, "My God, do I have the strength to do this? Give me the strength." And many of us, because it's the easy path, simply give up and say, "I'm not going to discuss this with other people. I'm not going to share my faith with anyone because it's too painful to be laughed at, to be mocked, to be persecuted." And I have to admit, even in my own life, I've chosen the easy path. But what God is calling each of us is to that communion of the Holy Spirit, to that unity of faith, to bear witness to the truth. How many of the new calendar churches have fallen into ecumenism to believe that the truth isn't important, that there are little truths, and standing by the traditions isn't important? Being faithful to what has been given to us isn't important. Accommodating the world is what many Orthodox have chosen to do. And I know it's very easy to accommodate to the world. It's very easy to go out and live your life as though the only time Orthodoxy matters is when I'm here on a Sunday morning. The only time the faith matters is when I get dressed, I put on my suit and tie, and I come to church. And on Sunday morning, I pretend, you know, for a moment that Christ matters in my life. And this is not an indictment of this is our fallen condition. But as I said, we were created by God to be compassionate, to be merciful, and to be good, to be holy. This is our natural condition. We were not created to be the way we've become. That's what we're doing. We can't be better people than what we are. Christ said, "Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." His way is a way of rest. Of course, there's work, there's a yoke. But His burden is light. He is doing the work with us. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. The Holy Spirit comforts us and gives us the strength. The Holy Spirit, like the Father, as I've said on a number of occasions in the parable of the prodigal son, is waiting with joy to celebrate our coming back to Him. He's waiting with joy to give us hope again. He's waiting with joy to give us faith again. He's waiting with joy to give us the strength to witness to the truth of Christ in our lives. Let us not become discouraged. If anything I can do in my feeble way, in my weak way, is to encourage you, to encourage all of us that we can be better, that we can be stronger, that we can be more faithful, and that we can, as weak as we may seem at times, transform first ourselves and then the world around us. That we can reach our brothers and sisters that have lost hope and have left the church, and that we can bear witness to the truth of Christ. Let us go out into the world and learn to live for Christ. As I said in that prayer, let us commit ourselves and all of our lives unto Christ our God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, from now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.